Don't fall off your stool, Matt.
I'm trying to get set here. Welcome to episode 57.
Yeah, episode 57. One of my least favourite checkouts. Because whenever I go for 17, I always hit the treble and leave double three. Hate it.
Still a double.
Yeah, it is. But we're here, and people will be watching this going, hang on a minute, you're next to each other. That's not normal.
And we're in my office.
Yeah, look at this. New board, mission background, backdrop banner thing here. How professional does this look, Matt?
And we've got the blue lights on. We can't quite see those at the moment, but you will see those if you're on TikTok, because that's what we're doing here this week, isn't it? We're making a load of TikToks for people to enjoy over the next few months.
Yeah, we've got loads. And I'm sat here with papers. I mean, this is blowing people's minds, this, now. They're going, hang on a minute, what's happened?
Let's do a few things normal, then. I made some notes on my phone of things I want to complain about on the podcast.
Oh, right, yeah.
So this will be a great way to start, so people can get used to normality once again.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is it with Europeans and cheese?
Yeah, you've just come back from Europe, haven't you?
What?
Breakfast.
Yeah.
Breakfast.
Every different type of cheese. Everywhere I went was with cheese. Like, everything I had was like cheese with that.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Even if I had cheese, I want some cheese with
Continental
that.
Breakfast, you're expecting maybe a croissant or a pastry. Cheese and ham.
Lots of cheese, yeah. Yeah. Just cheese everywhere. And bakeries. Don't matter what time of day, you want a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
There you go, pal. I was at the airport this very morning, about 6 o'clock, looking for some breakfast.
Cheese sandwiches.
Cheese
sandwiches.
Cheese
just
sandwiches.
Just what you want.
Yeah.
But you like cheese?
I don't anymore.
You've had enough.
I've had enough cheese. Like, everything's just cheese. What is it with cheese? Like, I mean, I like a bit of cheese, but I don't understand the logic of on everything.
Matt, I'm excited. Let's get into, before you go on to your next one, please let the viewers get into the insight of the European tour. Because you've been, and I'm jealous. And we've all been listening to you on this, well, I say all, some of the listeners will have been listening to you over the weekend, listening to your commentary, which I thought was very good as always. Commentated on the final. Give us an intake into what Czech, what Prague's like.
I don't know what Prague's like.
Never saw it.
You don't see any of it. No. Like, we landed in. So I went Thursday afternoon. I landed in probably about 6 o'clock. And we shuttled down to the venue. I was travelling with Charlie Corstafine, the referee. We got there. We went out to try and find some food. And we struggled. We ended up with a really good burger, actually, in the evening.
Oh, nice.
So we got a nice burger. Which, again, actually, maybe one of my European rants. Why do you measure things in 0.25 mils? That's not a measure. Like, I ordered a Pepsi Max, I got a little tiny bottle of it.
Yeah.
0.25, it's not even a can.
Yeah, 250 mil, what's that? I always thought that was so that you could put it in your vodka or your Jack Daniels. It was just the right amount, whereas 330 is too much. But when you order one on your own, it's not enough.
Yeah, give me too
you
much.
You just go, I'll have a... that, right, I need another one now.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did that. And then Friday morning, you get up, you have breakfast, you go to the venue, do your research, do your prep. Friday afternoon, you got an hour break, straight into the evening session. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So there is not really much time. But I got a great chance to catch up with people. I had some wonderful conversations with old friends, old adversaries, as they say. I had some very, very nice words said, which was really encouraging. I got goosebumps a lot of the time because the atmosphere in there was incredible. I got a chant. I welled up. So I went to get into the commentary box and there was a group of guys started chanting Matt Edgar. And then other people joined. I don't think they knew. I think they were just joining in the chant. Like, they're just like, yeah, we'll join in, lads. We'll go with you. But I was welling up a little bit. I was like, I didn't expect that. I met people that listened to the podcast. So hello to you guys. They said they didn't like you. They prefer me.
Oh, harsh. I don't believe that for a second. Was it as hot in there as everybody said?
Oh,
yeah.
I was sweating. Yeah, yeah. It was very, very hot. But it was wonderful. It was great just to be around everyone again. I obviously see them on pro tours and things when I do that commentary. See people in a proper environment as well, and to get that sort of. There's things that I won't say because I think I'd abuse the position that I have, the luxury position. But it's nice to sort of get that sort of vibe. I'd also say. We talk about people getting things wrong. Randy, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
There's people getting it awfully wrong and on a regular basis. You would literally go in there and go, how are you not being advised better than to get the these mistakes that you're doing
here?
But we had a few really interesting chats. One I will pull back the curtain on was Luke Humphries trying to encourage me to get back on the tour and play again, which, do you know, when the world number one sat there saying to you, you should do it again, you know, you was good enough, that is very, very heartwarming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, nice. And for the first time in a long time, the world number two didn't win. So maybe our bet might just be safe. We might not have to go running into the sea. He isn't going to win everything. But was Humphries back to his best? Because I didn't think he was.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't at all. I spoke to Luke quite a lot. We used to speak quite a bit on the tour before, and the second I got there, he came straight over, you know. So I managed to have a few good chats with him. What he was saying on stage was very, very similar in the fact that it just felt a little bit unsettled, needed a win, needed a big win, and that was it. To do it the way he did, look, if he went up there and blown the tournament away, you'd look at him and go, that was impressive, can he do it again? Well, the way he's done it, with battling qualities, I think is more impressive.
Yeah, I think Wessel should have had him mission zone in the quarterfinals. A very, very good chance to beat him. But
4-2 up.
Yeah, but as they always say, don't they? You know, you need a little bit of luck to win tournaments. I famously remember Gary Anderson's first world championship. I think somebody had like four darts to beat, knock him out in one of the early rounds. He goes on to win the tournament. You need that little bit of luck. And for me, it's those experienced, special players that, oh, you've given me a bit of a chance I wasn't expecting. And they always take it. You know, Wessel never gets that second chance. Luke just goes, right, you've given me that chance now. That's it, you're gone. And that's what he does.
Well, that's the levels, isn't it? Because Wessel's doing that to the people the level below him.
Yeah.
You know, if we was to sort of grade dart players, you'd probably say Wessel Nyman's in the B grade right now. You know, your A grade is Littler, Humphries, Rock, Van Veen.
Yeah.
Probably Gezi Price.
Yeah,
Your next level down.
Van Veen's a good one for me, Matt. I like talking about him because we talk about this a lot of can you maintain a level? And he doesn't seem to be able to. He's got this phenomenal A game, hasn't he? I mean, just he beats Littler, doesn't he? And again, and the A game, just like look, when I see him play like that, I'm like, well, he wins the tournament, but then he'll drop off to an 89 average, and you go, hey, well, what? Why?
There's a pattern.
Yeah.
Doesn't do it in the match play. Didn't do it at the start of this European tour. It was 100, 100, 100, 104, 101, all the way through. It's on the days where it goes multiple matches. That's the pattern I'm starting to see emerge, and it also leads me to why I said a while ago I think Gian Van Veen is the sort of player who will have a very good but maybe a shorter career than expected. I draw a comparison in Van Veen to an upgraded version of Benito van der Pas.
Interesting.
I see very, very similar stories.
Yeah, definitely an upgraded version, I think. But you're right, it's a little bit, yeah, he needs to learn how to get through those long days, doesn't he? And interesting that you say that, because I don't think he's probably had as much Pro Tour Players Champs success as maybe he should have. They're all day, aren't they?
Don't think he's had as much success full stop as he should have, because he's a very, very talented player. He will. Yeah. You know, he's not saying he's not going to go do it. He's going to go and, you know, have a fantastic career of titles. I just don't see him there in 5 years.
Interesting. Go on, I'll let you get back to your rant now while I have a get my water.
Brilliant. So, what do you know when you sit on the plane and they go, please sit in your allocated seat because it's been allocated to you for weight distribution? How do they know which I weigh? What if I weigh 20 stone and the other one is a child who weighs 2 stone? How did they work that out?
Maybe they've got some secret covert weighing machine as you walk in. But your seat's already allocated, isn't it? So that wouldn't make sense,
what
would
with
it?
With me and the missus?
Yeah, they can't just go, right, 50 on that side, 50 on that side. Yeah. Because if you get it wrong, the plane's like that, isn't it?
So how do they even make that announcement?
Maybe they take an average.
Yeah.
Maybe they go, the average person weighs this, therefore, or maybe it's front and back. We're thinking it's left and right. Maybe it's front and back.
But even then, what if you put,
yeah,
like, World's Strongest Man competition's been on, and 30 of them have all booked seats at the front, and at the back, it's the under 10 football tour.
Yeah.
And they're all at the back. Like, how do you balance that?
Imagine if everybody stood up at the back of the plane and walked forward. Do you think the plane would go like...
Well, there must be something in it, because to make that announcement.
Not.
Like,
surely
why would you make
not.
That announcement? So, you know, this is how my brain works.
I like it.
This is the stuff that comes up with
somebody
it.
Please get in the comments and tell us why they do that.
People standing still on a travelator.
Oh, on the... Is that the walking floor?
You just said it. The walking floor, not the get on and stand still. It's not a ride.
No, it's not an escalator, is it? That's going up like that. Or yeah. And so they end up getting there slower than if they just walked.
And they just stood there like... And I'm just like, what are you doing? It's meant to be... When you get on the travelator, it's meant to be 1.5 steps to a step. So you're putting half a step extra in every time you take a step.
Okay.
So when you do 2 steps, it's like taking 3.
Okay.
So that's the idea of the travelator. And they just stood on it. Chatting to the mate, getting in the way of everybody who's trying to use it properly. It's like, move, come on. Like, it's not a ride. So that's another. I've got one more.
It's funny you should say, you know what, on the way here, I was only thinking, I nipped into the services on my way down to Matt's studio, and I'm coming out the toilet, and I always walk left. I always keep left. If there's a left or right, I always keep left, because we drive on the left, and you know what I mean? I swear to God, I had to move 5 times to get in and out of the pit. Some on the right, some on the left, on the right, on the... I'm like, surely everybody walks on the left, but they don't, do they?
No.
No, they don't. No. Go on, you got one more.
Last one. This is an observation, actually. This is hilarious.
Right, okay.
And I've saved this for the pod, because I know you guys will love this as well. So, we was in rugby. We went to CEX, because I went to get some computer games.
Those people who don't know what that is in America or whatever, it's like a place where you can take your old computer games and stuff like that. You get money for them, and then people can buy used ones, etc.
Yeah, so I've gone and bought these games. And as we're driving back, we're in a bit of traffic, and there's a house. And this house has got a basket outside. And they must have an apple tree or something. Okay. And they filled the basket up with apples. And they put a sign on it saying, apples free to take.
Right? Wow.
Cars pulled over. Kids jumped out with a carrier bag, gone, and took every single one of the apples out the basket. Ran back in the car, got in there with his parents, and they drove off. Took the lot. Every single apple. And I'm watching it unfold. I'm just sat there laughing. And I'm like to Jodie, I'm like, film this, this is great. She's like, I can't film that. And I'm like, please, this is great content. And she refused to film it. But
do you know who I think it was? I think he works for Mr. Kipling for making their apple pies. They've gone, mate, you just nip down there and get some apples, will you?
It's going to save a bit of it.
Yeah, so everybody else that wanted a free apple, somebody's coming down, oh, get a couple of apples from there, we'll make an apple pie. They've come down, they've all gone. He didn't even leave a single one.
Dave's dropped a message to his mate at the pub, like, I've just chucked some apples out there. If you and Maureen want some on your way home, come back. And do you know the other thing, right? Do you know what car they jumped into?
BMW.
It was. Yeah. Brand new one.
It always is.
It was. I don't know what make it was, but it was. Do you know those like big ones? Like not like a Range Rover, like that sort
of. Oh,
like,
the X. X5 or X6 or
brand
something.
New one.
Yeah.
And I'm
brand
thinking, you can afford a brand new BMW and you've got to take 20 apples off the street.
Tinted windows.
Yes, it was.
Black. Was it black?
Yes.
Yeah.
It really was.
You're painting a great picture now.
You've took 20 apples off the street and you're driving around probably about 50 grand's worth of car. Yeah, like, what's wrong with people?
Yeah,
anything for free, isn't it?
Like, yeah, God.
So there's my observations of the week.
Yeah, love it. Love it. I'm gonna jump into a couple of questions. I've got my papers here. People have been emailing. Let's kick off with this. Rohan's been on. We know who Rohan is. He's a regular. And you might remember last week he'd had a bet on a horse called Mission to Win.
Yeah.
He's emailed again. It ran again. He backed it again, and it's won again at 12-1.
Oh.
So I think that he's actually sent the picture there, the screenshot of it going over the line. So, but by the time we get Harmony on it, it'll never win again, will it? But yeah, Mission to Win, won again at 12-1. Does it say 300 metres. Blimey, that's a sprint, isn't it?
That's not far.
That can't be right, can it, for horses? 300 metres? That's really not far, is it? But anyway, yeah, there you go. Coffs Harbour, New South Wales.
When you say that, I guarantee if you ran over 300 metres, you wouldn't finish it.
I'd still be going, wouldn't I? Yeah, it'll take a while. It'd be going dark, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. But yeah, so thanks for that, Rohan. I hope you keep winning on Mission to Win. Like it. You'll like the new backdrop, by the way, in Matt's studio here. We've got the brand new Samurai 4 up there, which we showed last week. Got the one with the white wires there. And I've got a bit of inside info on that. That board is coming out soon. The one that I mentioned with the graphite wires and the graphite numbers is going to be end of the year. So don't be hanging around waiting for that one. Get one of these white wire ones. I know how many we've got coming, and I don't think it's enough. So when that gets released, get yourself one of them. You're going to love it. I had a little play on this one earlier as well. Really, really good.
We've also got some great beach balls in stock as well.
Beach balls, yeah. The Mission Beach balls. Right, questions. Charlie English has been on with two questions. So let's give Charlie a bit of air time. And I've printed it off in the smallest possible font. I bet you can't read that. So I'm going to try my best to read this. He's put, hi, Andy. He doesn't even think you're on the pod. Anyway, I had a question. Oh, no. Hi, Andy. I have a question for you and Matt. There you go. For the podcast. We often talk about lots of players are really good on the floor, but not on the stage. And he wants to know why.
There's a couple of reasons. So one of them is psychological, because on the floor there's no crowd. So it's different. You've got people watching. You've got atmosphere. Atmosphere brings feedback, instant feedback. You hit 100, little ripple applause. You hit a 180, wahey! Placards go up in the air. Take out a finish, wahey! So there's reactions to your game. You can hear what the person's doing. So some people like to put their head down. You put your head down, you go to the back. Referee, 100. You're not getting away from it. You can't not follow the game. So you know what's going on there. So there's lots of different reasons like that. There's the preparation is very different because it's all built into your game. You're the only game in there that matters. So we've got that. Then we've got an expansion of that. Because I don't want to spend too long there, because a lot of those seem quite... You could sit and you could pick out why. Why do people play well on stages, but not on TV stages? Ian White, for example, winning multiple European tours, but never did anything on the TV. I have a theory.
Even though the European tours... are potentially on TV if you want to watch them that way. Yeah, yeah, okay, I'm interested in your theory. I can't think of a reason why.
Whenever you're looking for a reason why, you've got to compare. And anything that's not a comparable is a potential solution. What's different between the European... You just watched the European Tour this weekend. What is the difference between what you watched in Czech to what you watched in Blackpool at the World Match Play?
So the production's obviously slightly different, but I'd be thinking slightly smaller stage, not as many people watching. I can't really say it would be any hotter because stages could get hotter. So what else comes to mind? There's more money involved, there's more ranking points.
They're the common answers. That's what people tend to think.
Okay. What are the real answers then?
I personally... and there's nothing to back this up other than my personal feeling, so you can go with me or you don't, it's up to you. Comfort breaks.
Oh.
World Match Play, 5 legs, ad break. 10 legs, ad break. 15 legs, ad break. Stop, start. European tour, you get on the stage and you play to the win.
11 legs, yeah.
You do 5 legs, stop. World Championship, you play a set, you stop. You play a set, you stop. That's 3 minutes that you've got to find something to do. It breaks the concentration.
Yeah.
It breaks the flow and the momentum of the game. You go up, you win 3 legs in 11 darts.
In 11 darts,
you want
to
carry on.
Of course you do, yeah.
Actually, no, we've got 3 minutes now. Crowd's going to dance around a bit. Adverts are going to play. Ease off stage.
Yeah, then you're going to come back and have some practice darts.
Yep. Yeah. So you're playing darts without that level of intensity. And then 3 minutes later, cue, right, game on, and you're going to try going again.
Yeah.
So I think that breaks up that, and I think some people are better at it than others.
That's really, really interesting, Matt. And there have been plenty of players. You know, a friend of mine, Wes Newton, unbelievable on the floor. Mm. Unbelievable floor. But multiple Pro Tour winner, never really did it on TV. Yeah.
Something that's not discussed, but, you know, if you're going to look at why someone can do it in one environment and not another, it's not ability. Something's different. And when you look at those, yes, like I say, you can come up with all those potential ones, but the only person who could ever answer that is the player. And even then, just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean you're going to play a certain performance. Like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit nervous, I'm a bit tense, doesn't mean you're going to play bad. It just means you're feeling nervous and tense, so you're not comfortable. Not being comfortable doesn't mean you're not going to play well. That's something we get wrong a lot. You know, when you see someone, come on, they're sweating, they've got the red face, they're nervous. Oh, look at him, his hand's shaking. Doesn't mean he's not going to hit a target. It just means he's nervous.
Yeah. Can we think of a reverse one? Can we think of somebody that was amazing on TV, maybe not so good on the floor?
Kevin Painter.
Ah, because, yeah. Because
he got bored.
Yeah.
Floor events.
Yeah,
whereas... Dimitri Vandenberg.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the crowd. Yeah. Wow. How interesting.
Scott Williams.
Yeah, he gets up for it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Some people love it. Some people love that stage. And I get why, you know, being in Prague this weekend, like the atmosphere in there, it was unreal. And, do you know, it doesn't sound like when you say like nearly 4,000 people, 3,900, you go, well, it can't be great. It was. And this is where I think we're going to see things change, because 3,900 people in Prague, that's more than you can fit in Ali Pali.
Is it?
Yeah. You don't get that many in Ali Pali. It's tiny.
They're going to have to look at that then, aren't they?
It's got to change it.
Yeah, they're going to have to look at that. I mean, does it become a Premier League? You know, that's something that big. Does it become a 10, 14,000 seater venue?
Maybe not that big, because I think it goes too long. But I think something about five. I think five would do it.
Yeah. It's interesting, because we've never really spoken about it, but something that I get asked a lot. And they say, those people that I can see at the back, surely they can't see the board. I'm like, no, they can't see the board. They can literally see a screen with what's going on. Well, what's the point? And I'm like, have you ever been to a concert and sat at the back? You can't see the people on stage, but you're still having a good time, aren't you? It's the same thing, isn't it?
Do you know what? This brings me to Luke Humphreys' quarterfinal. It was against Vessel, wasn't it, quarterfinals?
Yes. Yeah, Vessel, that's the game, yeah.
Yeah, so during the game, there was a few technical issues. Screens went off in the arena.
They did.
The crowd was booing.
Yes, they were.
So the crowd were booing. Imagine what that's right for Luke and Vessel on stage. Because to them, why are you booing us? What's going on?
Like,
well, and it was really, and Luke alluded to that after the game as well. It's like, I didn't know what was going on.
Did they not suss it? Could they not see?
Well, you know what it's like, Andy. I see is the treble 20. I don't see what's going on over there. But yeah, they didn't clock it. So Luke was like, why was getting booed? It's like, our screens went off. So
right. Was it me? Or was it the microphones? Or was there more whistling than normal? Because that's definitely going to get commented on. I know it is.
No. I thought the atmosphere in there and the fans in Czech were unbelievable. There was in that game between Vessel and Luke, but that's because they couldn't see anything. And that wasn't because of the darts. That was because of the production and everything. So other than that, I don't think... I mean, even when Nathan Aspinall taken on one of the Home Nation qualifiers, you think he's going to get it here. You know, it was very respectful. They had a great time. I think it's time that they got something more as well. I think we're at a stage now where some of these nations that have been getting European tours for a while, they now need to get a World Series or a Premier League. And that, by the way, is where I think the Premier League's going.
Yeah, I do.
I think the Premier League's going to the point where we have two or three days in England, one in Germany, one in Holland, one in Belgium, one here. And I think these nations that are doing themselves justice right now, I think... their places are going to get Premier League venues.
Well, they've shown they can put the supporters in there, haven't they? And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. They've shown the numbers, which is fantastic. I thought it was good. I thought it was a good tournament. Yeah, that whistling, I think you're right. I think it was potentially because of what was going on. It didn't seem to bother them that much. And as we've said a million times, they've just got to be able to deal with it now. I think Wessel's getting better on stage. I think everybody expected Wessel to explode. We saw him doing those 110 averages last year and everyone went, wow. And then I think he's just gone slowly. And there's not a lot wrong with that. I don't mind that. I've said this before. You can suddenly be catapulted and then before you know it, you're back out again. Whereas if you just go slowly, then you're not defending as much the year, you know, in a couple of years' time. I think it's going to work out for him now.
But you know what, Andy? we are 25 minutes into this podcast, and we spoke about darts quite a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, quite a lot. We've had your rants, but yeah, we've had quite a lot of it.
It's quite unusual. I think maybe it's because I've been at the Euro Tour, isn't it? And I've probably been up since 2 o'clock this morning, and like things are getting a little bit tired. So,
well, let's talk about 57, because it's episode 57. Why don't people go to level 15?
Because it's stupid.
At least level 6.
And if you miss it, you need to burn another dart.
Exactly. So the so that was just a silly point to bring reference to 57. Is there a better way? Is there any other way of going? Does it have to be single 17?
7 ball.
19 double 19. Yeah. You know, we see a lot of people going double 19 now on things. I'm appealing to the amateur dart player, of which I am these days.
17 tops then. Let's not confuse
that
people.
Probably hits the treble 17 like I do, and then you're in trouble. I just hate it.
Is the benefits of being the, well, I say the person, because actually I've just realised I haven't plugged the laptop in either. So I'm just going to quickly do that while we're...
Oh, right. We're running on battery power. Yeah. So at any minute we could just go, and then the screen will go blank and people will go, why is it only a 20-minute podcast this week? Is that what it could be?
Well, I am mic'd up anyway, so it's all right. I can still...
Oh, well, that's all right. If you can keep talking, then I'll get on to... We've answered Charlie's first question, but he has another question as well. So thank you, Charlie, for emailing us at youtube@missiondarts.com. He has a question regarding equipment. You and Matt have said in the past you don't like repointing, you don't like the Swiss point system, because you can't get the point to be the same as it was when it was factory set. If this is true, then surely if you sharpen your points, they're not going to end up the same length, etc. Now, here's the thing. I don't sharpen my points, do you?
I just change the darts.
You just get a new set out.
Yeah,
you just get a new set out. I never sharpen mine. If mine are struggling to stick in the board, I'm likely to roughen them up a little bit with a bit of sandpaper on the end, which isn't really taking anything off. So they're not getting any shorter. At the point when your points are getting shorter than the other points, I think it's time for a new set, because that must take ages.
Right. The reason I don't like it, as I've said before, is because I worry about my point coming out. It happened to Luke Humphries against Ever Dive Loader. Yep. He had the dart at tops, missed... Point got stuck in the board. He didn't have another set on stage with him, so he's got this point and he's banging it on the table to keep the point. And I'm like, why? Like, this is what I mean. Like, this is the world number one.
Yeah.
And he's making something so. And this is where, do you know when we said before we think we could take any player and make them better? It's because these little considerations aren't being thought of.
No.
Why isn't there just another set of darts? And go, ah, there's a problem, I'll change them. Because now you've got something in your mind. Because what he did is when he came to the board, I can act it out, can't I, this week?
Yeah,
so he came to the board and he took him out soft. And then he taken him out and he's taking out and looking at it like this. That's not what he naturally does.
No.
So now he's adapting.
Yes.
And I'm going to adapt. Do you want a can, Andy?
Are you getting a can? No, I've got some water here. I'm good, mate. But thanks for offering.
I'm going to get...
That, do you know what? That relate
what
you dandelion and burdock. Oh, that used to get that out of the chippy, didn't you? Right. So you just brought on a point to a comment that somebody said. They said, if one of my darts break, this was relating to a stem. Remember we spoke about broken stems last week, and he said it in the comment. Oh well, if my dart stem breaks, I don't have another stem ready. I just use another dart. I've got a spare dart. And I went, and I think I've actually replied to say, well, hang on a minute. Sets are matched weight darts. Mission ones certainly are. They're all matched to a specific weight. If you go and buy another set of darts and nick one of them and put it in with those three, it might, now it's not going to be a lot different, but it's certainly going to be different because it won't be a matched weight. So and not only that, you've probably played with those three loads and that one sat there brand new until it's needed. So I didn't think that was a good plan. I would rather pick up a full new set.
Have you heard the Peter Manley story?
Well, I've heard a few Peter Manley stories, but I don't know if it's this one.
Okay, so I think it was in Las Vegas. Peter Manley had his darts with him, and someone had a scale. He goes, I'll just weigh my darts for me. And I don't know the exact numbers, but it ranged from something off the top of my head. His three darts was from 20.9 grams to 22.1. It was something like that. Like three darts was out by that much when they weighed them, because exactly that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just swap that dart. I'll swap that dart. This one's wore a bit more. That was, and he ended up with nearly 1.5 grams sort of difference between the three darts.
So let's give them a tip. As professional dart players, you want to be carrying around two sets of darts, and you want them to be used to the same level, so that if you've got to swap, if a dart breaks or whatever, you can pick up the next set and it's going to feel as similar as possible. Don't have one set that's 3 years old that you've been using. Oh, these are my favourites, I can only hit them with these, but I've got a brand new set there just in case. They're going to feel awful if you get them out.
Content boards over there, that's the side of the room people don't normally see, the content board. Mm. And on the content wall, there is a series on there of multiple episodes that say, what is in a pro player's dart case? And we're going to be filming that in October, where we're going to be getting the mission players in and we're going to be filming with them to look what's in their case, the stories behind what's in there and all those bits. So make sure you subscribe to the main channel as well, because you're going to get a lot of insight into what players keep in their case, why, what equipment's in there, any quirky little interests as well.
And we might even be giving them a few tips and saying, really? You know, really, I think we need to have a look at this, you know, so we might be doing that as well. And actually, something we never, ever talk about is the TikTok channel, Matt. So, you know, if you are a listener and a regular to me and Matt, and you didn't know, Mission Darts, we have a TikTok channel as well, and we're going to be doing loads of them. Look, it's not for everybody. We know what our demographic is on the podcast, but even I've got into TikTok, and if I can get into it, maybe you as well. So make sure you check us out on there as well.
Yeah, if you've got an account as well, if you go hit the subscribe on there, because, you know,
that'd be nice.
We're on the bonus structure.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, get the numbers up. That'd be fantastic. That'd be absolutely brilliant. Right, Jeff's been on with a really long one here about soft tip, and he's gone down another angle. So we've talked about, and I think I brought up the fact that about soft tips and steel tips a few times, but he said in America, the thought of taking a soft tip machine out to put steel tip in, they're like, it's $5, $10, $15 an hour's worth of money they're getting as opposed to zero. Mm. So it's very hard to convince landlords in America to take soft tip out and put steel tip in, because their initial thought is, I'm going to lose a load of money. However, this guy, Jeff, from Beaufort, SC, South Carolina, maybe, in America, has said he's convinced his local guy to take soft tips out and put four steel tips in, because he's done the maths. And he said the lads that come and play steel tip will buy eight beers each. They'll come in every week, and this is how much you're going to make. And the guys took the soft tips out and put the steel tips in. So Jeff, championing the cause, fair play to him. But I'd never thought of it from that angle.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you go into, in the UK, with a charge for pool, and that's common. Imagine going in there and saying, just take that pool table out, mate, and we'll just put this
put
in.
Put table tennis in.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there was a comment.
So that's, look at this. That's really, really interesting. And thanks for that, Jeff. And he's also sent a picture of the team. Is it there? I'll put that on the screen. He sent a picture of the team there, as Jeff as well, that are actually playing on those steel tips. So absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. Please let me know if SC isn't South Carolina, if it's somewhere else. But you found it?
Someone put a comment on here, actually. But great commentary, Matt, on the darts. Thank you. I take a lot of pride in my commentary work. I put a lot of effort into it. So if you are enjoying it, I do thank you for that. Stop eating crayons. So, is that rain?
It suddenly just started hailstoning outside for some reason, but anyway.
Dan Dawson was talking about putting colours on signs. I said, oh, but you have to bring a pack of felt tips and all this sort of thing. He goes, well, you brought crayons, didn't you, Matt? He goes, but I think you've ate them all. So it's like a really funny bit. But let's see if I can find
well
that
done
comment.
For somebody spotting that then on the commentary.
Watch
this week.
The whole thing, then.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. It was very interesting. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing Little get beat just for once, just for a new winner.
Here's one from RectorFan25. Also, Matt, but you are wrong. Players do have different throws. Gary Anderson, Barney, MVG and Dave Chisnell as examples of you replicated all four of their throws, consecutively and sent it to Rate My Throw, you'd point out different things for each visit being done. What that tells me is you don't know what you're looking at, basically, because those throws, fundamentally, there's a lot very, very similar about it. What that tells me is you're looking in the wrong places. You're looking at how they set up their posture, shall we say, or the movements that they make. Gerwin Price, I had this conversation not too long ago. It was brought up because we talk about the point not being down in the hand. They said, but Gerwin Price holds the point down in the hand. Ross Smith holds the point down in the hand. Yes, but when they draw the arm back, they turn the wrist so the point is up at the point. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you do here. When you get to here, that's what needs to be done. So this needs to be the same. There's a lot of fundamentals. Yes, if you look at it with an untrained eye, a naked eye, and you look at Gary Anderson, Dave Chisnell, you'll go, they are two completely contrasting throws. But that's not what you should be focusing on. You need to focus on things. How does the wrist turn? Where does it turn? Where's the release? What are the fingers doing at the release? What do the fingers do at the end of the throw? What is the elbow doing? What's the elbow doing in relation to the shoulder? What is the front foot doing in relation to the back foot? How that works will set the shoulder, sets the hips, sets the balance, the centre of mass, base of support. All these lines need to lurk and get into connection. So there's so much in there, and all that comment does is tell me you don't know where to look in those, which is why you should watch a lot of our mission videos, because we will show you what you should be looking at.
We will. There's loads more of them coming. And you've actually just hit on something that happened to me in a precision fitting. No, I think it's just a big lorry going past. In a precision fitting last week, I actually had a guy who said, I can't stop the dart doing this in the air, like a fish. And I said, oh, well, I'll hopefully be able to fix that for you. But I couldn't, Matt. And do you know why? And I've got my darts here. Just, by the way, how amazing does my dart case look now? We talked about the Pro's dart case. Let me just get that on the screen while Matt's looking there. You can see there. That's my... Sorry for our audio listeners, but that's how my case looks now with my darts in and all the new Force 90 Vortex, which we've come up with a phrase for. You get more flex with a Vortex.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. They're coming out very, very soon. I've got all the colours in there. It looks amazing. But what I was going to demonstrate was, and again, sorry to the audio viewers, but the guy...
The audio viewers.
Now, that'd be a new one, wouldn't it? If you were listening, but you could actually see. So the guy released the dart point down as it came out of his hand, point down. Now, a dart wants to fly, I always say, like an aeroplane, point up. So the dart naturally through the air had to adjust itself. So there was no possible way. There is no possible way, by the way, that you can throw a dart, and you can have a try, Matt, if you want, point down, and it will fly through the air point down and land in the dartboard point down. Try it at home. Give that a go. See if you can do that. I bet you can't. It's impossible. You can't release a dart point down that stays point down through the air. A dart will always want to change its balance. Are you back with us, or are
I'm
you
trying
still...
to find... There's a comment. I'm trying to
There's
find...
a comment. It... Well, you could have got me to print it off with all the others. Anyway, if you're getting stuck into that, I'll get onto another fact. Let's do... Oh, no, that's definitely one for you.
It looks like it's gone. Looks like it might have gone.
Has it gone?
So it was. I think it was to do with the... remember we put the ticker on last week at the bottom?
Oh, somebody didn't like it, did they?
Yeah. Yeah. But why can't people just... Like, we love feedback. We love it. But why can't people just... And listen, everybody, this is just like a lesson in how to interact with content. Like, if it had just gone on there and gone, yeah, not a fan of that, guys, you know, that's fine. We listen to opinions.
Yeah, we read them all.
If there's enough that don't like something, we won't do it, you know. But it's when the way people word things, isn't it? Like, did you see it? Like, did you see the comment?
Yeah,
it's not
did.
On there now. And it was something along the lines of, oh, this will make me not want to watch, and I'll watch it. And it's like...
Was it Dave?
It's like, why do you have
Dave
to,
Dave speaks like that.
He does, yeah, all the time. It's like, why do you have to, like, dramatise it? Why can't you just say, that?
I don't like it.
I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, and let us know. If you don't like the ticker tape on the bottom, let us know. Audio listeners don't even know it's there.
No. We'll just get rid of it.
No, like, they don't even know.
It's just a thing. It's just, we're just going to try things to make it look visually more pleasing. And it's like, I don't watch anymore. And it's like, why are we dramatising this? it's a bit of ticker tape going across the bottom with like, the thing on. Like.
Well, Ivan's been on. You know Ivan. Ivan Fletcher. He's been on the question for you because I can't answer this. Hello. Just looking
is
for...
Is you're looking for?
Is it? A musical reference? Yes. That's the second one this year, by the way. He's looking for recommendations and advice. I have just had a hernia operation. So for the next few weeks, can you recommend any good darts documentaries to watch? I thought he was going to say, can you tell me how to throw the dart? Because it's really hurting. Right, a darts documentary to watch.
Blood on the Carpet.
Oh, is that about the split between the two? Yes,
yeah, very good. Very good. There's also a great YouTube channel, Edgar TV Darts.
Yeah, they have some good stuff on.
I tell you what, if you haven't seen it, I know that was like a silly plug, but if you are looking for that sort of stuff, go over, if you haven't seen my channel yet, or if you've not seen this series. I went around the WDF last year and I did vlogs. They're quite interesting watches, actually.
I seem to remember one called something like Bullseyes and something. It was, and that was about the
Bellies and Bullseyes.
Is that what it was? Maybe. Something and Bullseyes was a kind of story of, and it had Bristow on it and all the old guys there. I mean, the one I get asked a lot is darts books. We really should write one because there aren't any. Wayne Mardle did one. Sid Waddell, God bless him, did one, but there's been, and Phil Taylor did one, but it was too early in his career.
But there might be a reason for that.
Darts players don't read?
Oh, it's just a bit boring, isn't it, books?
Could have an audio books, and you could listen to it like they listen to us.
Or we could just do a podcast.
Yeah, we could just do...
Which we're doing.
Maybe we could just...
That was a good brainstorm, wasn't it?
We could get a darts book, and we'll read it, and you can just tune in.
So, that brainstorm there, we started with this and we're going to end with this.
Yeah. Oh, dear, right. He's put also, when you think I should play darts again? Well, I guess it depends how amazing the hernia operation was. Yeah, whenever it doesn't hurt. Yeah. Sounds like a good one. Marcus, my last question this week. Marcus Stent, and if you do want to send us a question, please put it in the comments below. We read them all or send us an email, youtubeadmissiondarts.com. And, by the way, we've not asked this week, can we have some subscribers? That'd be nice. We're on about 1,650. Be nice to get 1,700. Yeah, so I'm just asked there, right in the middle. Marcus is from Australia. So he sent this at 6:31 a.m.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, good lad, Marcus. I'm loving the content and I'm a new listener. And he's following the channel. Well done.
There you go, you got your screen.
I have a question. Can you do a video? Can we do a video on the difference between a wrist thrower and an arm thrower? What are the pros and cons of each, especially for a beginner? Can we do a video on that? Would we do a video on that? Over to you, Matthew.
Pros and cons is possible. I always find technical videos are quite tricky because certain aspects work with certain throws, and sometimes if you show something and say this is what you should be doing, that's what that 20% of people should be doing. And then the other way, there's videos out there, isn't there, where the elbow, get the elbow higher. How many people come to coaching and there's
elbows up. No, but it doesn't make the question kind of doesn't make sense to me because I'm a wrist thrower and you're an arm thrower. We can't change. We can't just swap and go, oh, I'm going to throw like Andy and I'm going to throw like Matt. We won't get anywhere because that's not how
but
we throw.
That as well, I think, is what people fear with coaching. Because I think people think with coaching that there's one way of throwing a dart and that you're going to be forced into that.
Yeah.
Where actually what it is looking at what you are and going, right, okay, you throw the dart like that. So because you throw the dart like that, you need this or this to make it better. And it's about taking what you've got and developing what you've got. It's not about remodeling or redesign. I had someone come in the other week, and right here at the Edgar TV Studios, on this very board, well, not that board, but that position, and he started throwing, and he goes, yeah, my throw's awful. And I'm like, it's not, because you've got three of the key major factors. So what we need to do is we need to give you the other bits. And he goes, what, so I can carry on throwing like this? You're not going to remodel everything? I said, no. I said, we're going to add to it. Mm. I'm not going to take away. That's not my job. My job's not to take away. My job's to add. So I just put some extra bits in. And he left. I mean, the thing was, when he started doing it, he wanted to stop because he didn't want to ruin the illusion. But he 140, 140, and he's like, standard player, average about 40, and he's hitting 140s. And he's like, this is crazy, because I want to stop, and I'm like, I need to see it a bit longer. Like, yeah. I need to see you throw for longer. Like, and he's like, I don't want to. Because I don't want to ruin the illusion. Because I want to leave it like this, where I'm just hitting everything. And I'm like, this isn't kind of the best advice. Like, I said, you can obviously do what you want. It's your session.
Yeah.
I says, but my advice is let me watch for longer. Mm-hmm. Because I need to watch from different angles and move mm-hmm. around and see the dart fly. Make sure everything's there. Nope, I'm happy. That'll do me. And I'm like, right, okay. It's probably one of the shortest sessions I've ever done. Probably one of the easiest sessions I've ever done. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I can grab a sandwich.
Right. Something we've never got into in the podcast. Matt and I are very proud to be darts coaches. We're very proud to be sponsored by Mission and probably the best two coaches that we know of. I think we should tell some funny stories, because some have just come to my mind there of things that have happened, and we're not going to name names, but things that have happened in coaching. And one happened to me last week. Where, and if they're watching or listening, they're going to know it's them, but they walked in and went, I know I throw it too hard, I know I'm not stood in the right place, and I know my arm on the way back is under the right eye, the wrong eye. That was his opening statement, and I kind of thought, you didn't need to come then. You've already worked it out yourself. It turned out he wasn't stood in the wrong place. The eye really didn't make any difference, and he didn't throw it too hard. It was other stuff that was going on.
I always ask, at the start of the session, first sort of 20 minutes is just a conversation.
Yeah.
I want to know what you've done, what's brought you to this point, what you want to leave here like, or what have you come for, what's the goal. What's the short-term goal? Like, what do you want to happen over the next 6 weeks? Where do you want to be in a couple of years' time? Then it's a case of, right, what's your assessment of this? So you want to be here. You want to be a tour card holder. Why aren't you a tour card holder right now? What do you think is missing? To see where they think it, because you can get a lot psychologically from people's sort of where they want to be and what's stopping them.
Has anybody ever come and told you they already know everything that's wrong?
No, I did have one that I found really tricky, right? This was probably the hardest session I've ever done in my life. And that's because if you're here and you want to be here, you've got this thing in mind and you want to be there, and you go, right, to get there, I've got to do this, 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 this. That's ambition and determination. That's drive. That's focus. If you go, I'm here and I want to be here, but I'm not where I want to be because of him, her, them. That's entitlement.
Mm.
Now, the issue I had was this guy was the latter. Oh. It was everybody else's fault why he wasn't there. How do you deal with somebody who it's everybody else's fault he's not where he needs to be? And that was the hardest one for me, because instead of the session being about how to move forward, a lot of it was self-reflection to try and say, actually, this is your responsibility. It's your responsibility to get here. It's your responsibility to do this. It's nobody else's.
Mm.
They're not going to carry you through this. And the further up you get, the more it's still your responsibility. And it was everything. It was like, oh, well, I can't do it because I'm too nervous when I'm playing because I haven't got a sponsor. And, okay, you haven't got a sponsor. So why don't you for a year get your head down, do extra work, save the money, and then go for it.
Yeah.
Or if you believe in yourself that heavily, why don't you, and this is not advice, by the way, this is terrible advice, but this is just purely to answer that question. Why don't you go get a credit card? Why don't you get a loan?
Yeah.
You know?
If you believe in yourself.
I guarantee you the car he pulled up in was on finance.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way he was affording that one.
No.
So if you're willing to do it for your car, why aren't you willing to do it for your career that it's going to give back to you?
And it's interesting that they think that if they've got a sponsor, that's going to make them a better player.
Mm.
Because that's taken care of now. So now if you believe in yourself, use your own money. And that's good. But just a couple of stories have come to my mind.
Right, I'll tell you what, before you do that,
go on.
Let's turn this into our game of true or false.
Oh, okay.
So you tell me a story.
I'm really bad at.
You tell me a story and I'll tell you whether that really happened or whether you're taking the mic.
Right, okay. So the story is this. A guy rang up and said, I want to come for some coaching. Yeah, great. But could I do a couple of hours and bring somebody with me? And we'll have an hour each. Yeah, no problem at all. That's absolutely fine. You can either have an hour's coaching on your own, you can have 2 hours, or you can have 2 hours or two of you. I said, but I will have to do it 1 hour at a time. It's very difficult to try and coach two people at the same time. So I'll do it 1 hour with you and 1 hour with your friend. Yeah, absolutely fine. Good. So the guy comes, he's like county standard, you know, really good first hour session. But he's brought his wife with him. So I'm thinking, oh, a bit like Eric Bristow, Maureen Flower, she's going to be a county player, you know, wanting to get better. She had never thrown a dart in her life. And my wall now has proof that she'd never thrown a dart in her life. Not only that, she didn't have any darts. So not only has she never thrown, but she's now having to use my darts for the hour, which was the longest hour of my life. Is that true or false?
I think there's a strong element of truth, but I think you've fabricated bits.
No, it's totally true. Right, that is okay. Totally true, 100% true. And that was the longest hour of my life. Yeah, it was incredibly difficult. But we got through it and I repainted the wall afterwards.
Okay, I'm going to give you one then.
Yeah, I'm terrible at yours. Go on.
So, guy turns up, books a session. Quite far in advance, probably 3 months, and that's probably about as far as I work ahead. I don't work too much further ahead, so it was probably about 3 months, give or take. And he's turned up, and his arm's in a sling, right-handed player, arm in a sling, and he's come and he goes, "I didn't want to waste the money because I already paid the deposit. I didn't want to mess you around because I booked it already." Turns up, arm in a sling. He goes, "So I'm going to just have a go left-handed. So anything you can do." He goes, "But this is more a case of just have come, we'll have a little bit of a meet, we'll have a chat, and I'm just going to make the most of the session." And he did the session left-handed.
It sounds true.
It's not.
It's not. It's that not. Was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. And the reason I thought it was true, because those who watch Rate My Throw, we had a guy on last week who during the session threw with both hands.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, is it
he's terrible at these games, isn't he?
Every week. It gets me every single time. No, I mean, I've had guys, and I'm not doing true or false now because it's just a statement, but I had a guy that drove 7 hours. He lived in Cornwall. Drove for 7 hours for coaching. And didn't bring his darts. Literally, he had a 2-hour session booked. He booked a hotel. He was staying for 2 nights. He's a long way. It cost him like over £1,000 to do the trip and forgot his darts. And he said, "I didn't realise till I was past halfway here. So what am I going to do?" So he used my darts, which were completely no good for him. My dart is quite a specific dart. I know you could throw it, but it has a scallop where my thumb goes and everything. And he actually did the session with my darts, which was very, very difficult. So, yeah, if you are booked in for any coaching sessions with either of us, please bring your darts. It is important, you know? Mm. Yeah, no, it is.
But darts is a very fundamental part of darts.
It is really, isn't it? It's one of those things, isn't it? There's another one. Who takes their darts everywhere?
My friend Zach.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Has he always got his darts on
everywhere.
Him?
He's always got a set.
So you're like, you've just gone out for a bit of food and there's a board, he's like, "Yeah, I've got my darts with me."
Well, there's this players, isn't there, that do it. Simon Whitlock.
Does he?
He always goes around in a dart shirt everywhere. He's always got...
Really?
Not like the full-on The Wizard.
No, but...
But like you know, we've got the Mission Polos.
I don't even know what we call them now, but the new polos.
Those sort of polos.
Yeah.
There's photos of him on holiday in Thailand on the internet where he's just sat there in a dart shirt. So you never know when a game of darts are going to break out, do you? So
it was very interesting, actually, because I've walked in today and Matt's looked at me like that and gone, "Just checking I didn't have the yellow shirt on, otherwise we'd..." Because we don't ring each other and go, "What colour shirt are you putting on today?" We've got new shirts. We're happy to show them off. And yeah, thankfully, we've got different colours on.
To be fair, if you rang me and went, "Matt, what are you wearing today?"
Yeah.
That's old school, isn't it? Audio listeners, like the phone. When I do phone, it's little finger and thumb to the ear, phone. Nowadays, that's phone, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Has it changed to that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, and it's that, isn't it? It's, where's my phone? In my pocket. Why can people not talk on the phone like that? Why do they have to talk like that? On speakerphone. What is that all about?
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, ask your daughter, say, mimic being on the phone. She won't do that.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you went like that, she'd be like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, that's not phone anymore.
See?
Things that are changing.
Things that are changing. Are we getting older? Is the world just going mad? I'm not quite sure.
There was a big list of them, and I can't remember any of those now, which is annoying. But there was a big list of things that have sort of changed over time, where our generation remember it one way, but it's a different one now.
It kind of reminds me of the Peter Kay. Our foreign viewers won't know who that is, but when people say, when you go on holiday, they go, next month. Like, why are you looking at your watch?
Yeah.
So I got a calendar on it.
So I saw a video on TikTok. It was going round and they were showing logos to like 18, 19, 20 year olds.
To guess who it was.
And you had to guess what it was.
Oh, I'd like
and
that
they
game.
Blanked them out. Like,
oh, I'd like
they
that
They didn't
game.
Get Blockbusters. No one got
oh,
it.
Oh, no, they wouldn't know what it was.
No one got Woolworths.
Wow.
And I'm looking, I'm like, yeah, that's that. No one got those. Like, and I'm like,
Blockbusters.
That is scary. And they're just like, oh, I've never seen that in my life.
Well, they won't have done. They won't have, what, rent? What, you go and rent a DVD? What does that even
and it's
mean?
A VHS?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
they were the days. They was the days.
They are the days.
Back in the days of round wire dartboards. Not this stuff anymore.
Not these amazing. Do you know how flat that is now? That's incredible. I can remember.
I don't think that's a unique selling point.
No,
of
it is.
Board.
The first.
It's flat.
No, the wires. The wires.
Right.
When the first blade wires came out, well, you remember Colin Lloyd punching it and he took off. If you punch that now, maybe not. But they're totally flat now. Completely flat into the board. There you go. Punchable.
There's your advice for the day. Don't punch dartboards.
No, don't do that.
They're flat wires.
And don't eat yellow snow.
Or eat crayons.
No, don't eat crayons. No. No. Unless you want to poo multicoloured.